60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road again, partying at Hawks on State Street. Thank you to Hawk, the proprietor here. Hawk Sullivan regaling us with stories.
He's got stories.
And we've been joined by a fine guest, good friend of the Devil's Advocates. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. And Jim, you have set a terrible precedent. You brought cannolis, man, and ever since, it's like there's an expectation.
There is. It's a good expectation, though, right? It's a good one, right?
It's a high expectation.
Right, high, and yes, good both. But we're here to celebrate, right? Because great news yesterday. Thrilled about the news about the expansion of broadcasting here in Wisconsin.
Oh, that
big
news. I thought, did Trump get indicted?
No. It's not Merrick Garland Day quite yet.
Not yet.
But coming one of these days. But congratulations. This is neat. This is wonderful. Wisconsin, for the station, for all of us. So really important news, and just great to hear.
Well, as a broadcaster on the Civic Media Network, James Santel, morning cannolis. See what he does there?
See that tie in there?
Right? The branding,
Saturday morning,
baby.
Right? 9 to 11 o'clock right here. Leads from the Shaw, the 540 AM studios in Waukesha. We played here on Devil Radio. Mm-hmm. But now with the doubling of the network, we've got Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR. I believe we're going to play you there, my friend.
Outstanding.
And also, in Wausau, although we might have some conflict with some college football shows, we might have to tape delay you there. But as we go around the state, Jim, you are a part of this, and people hopefully are tuning in and getting your legal explanation, your legal expertise. But we appreciate you most when you come on the Devil's Advocates, because you make us look good.
Always a pleasure. Always
and you bring cannolis.
I bring cannolis, even from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They made the trip out here safe and sound, and so we're dividing those up among the entire group that's here at Hawks this afternoon.
No, we're not.
Okay, I didn't understand the rules.
We're selfishly keeping them for ourselves.
Okay.
These are not socialist cannolis, Jim.
Jim, let's talk about the actual, perhaps advancing news of the week in regards to... what's going on? The prosecutions, what we all anticipate will be the impending prosecution of the former president of the United States. And part of that is because we suspect he was the hub of the coup, although he certainly had some people like John Eastman, and there's lots of them, Jeffrey Clark and all sorts of others.
Invited to the White House to have lots of discussions about putting this conspiracy together, right? Right.
So, Jim, we know that there is apparently some focus and some subpoenas being executed, and people are giving testimony to the Department of Justice. How important do you think that advancement is, or are we all over here reading tea leaves that we have no idea? Because we're not on the inside. We're all just speculating.
Well, we're not on the inside, and so we are speculating. But now we're speculating based upon some good information. If we had had this conversation, and we did, about 2 months ago, and you asked me, you know, what's going on in Washington, I think we were all sort of scratching our heads and saying, what is Merrick Garland doing? Is there really something going on there? Is it there happening in a grand jury? And since that time, there have been all these indications that, yes, indeed, things have been happening. We know, for example, that this guy named Peter Navarro got a subpoena. Others, as you just said, are acknowledging that they're appearing. We've got document production requests. We've got the request from the Department of Justice for the transcripts of the interviews before the January 6th committee. Again, that's the kind of thing you would do if you've got a lot of people testifying. Many, many other things indicating this is a real investigation. We know Lisa Monaco many, many months now ago also said, hey, we're looking at that thing involving the false electors. And again, more recently.
And I got to slow you down here, Jim, because we didn't all used to work at the Department of Justice. Who's Lisa Monaco and why? Is that pertinent?
Sure. Lisa Monaco is the Deputy Attorney General. She's the number two at Maine Justice. You see her from time to time when they're announcing major prosecutions. She's right there next to Merrick Garland talking about all this kind of thing. And again, she not too long ago said that indeed, she was asked by a reporter, what's happening with all these 6-7 states out there? Are you doing anything? And she said, yes, we're taking a look at that. We've received that. We're pursuing an investigation. That's one of the tendrils that's out there. And so getting getting back to your question, tea leaves, yeah, I think we can read them fairly reliably now to indicate that the Department of Justice is taking this seriously. And I will go so far as to say these are the things we know in the public domain that we can talk about. Grand juries, by their very nature, private under Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. There's your civics and your federal rules for the day, the afternoon. Tell that to your family tonight. The answer is an awful lot more going on behind the scenes that we do not know about, we shouldn't know about, but we're finding an awful lot of confirmation that Merrick Garland is at least true to his word that they're looking at this. Whether he prosecutes and whether or not there is, in fact, Mike Crute day of importance here with Merrick Garland Day, that's another question, but it's ongoing, undeniably.
Do you think there's any fear of prosecuting the former president, Donald Trump, because of violence, of political accusations against the prosecutors? What would prevent, I mean, if the evidence is there, and I know that Dom keeps saying there's an open investigation in Manhattan. No, Alvin Bragg closed it effectively.
All but, right.
But his former prosecutor said there's enough there, I think, to prosecute and convict Donald Trump, Trump on crimes. Well, Jim, there was that surety, at least amongst the line prosecutor, but the boss didn't share that opinion.
Right.
How much of that, where do you think bump up against evidence, bumps up against timing and political reality?
You got to prosecute even if you lose, Jim. How important is it for prosecutors to say, we don't have 100%, it's only 96% or 98%?
Dom, I couldn't have said it
what
better.
What if it's only 67%?
Right?
Given the historical
1%.
Given the historical precedent, I mean, I think you still have to. Otherwise, it's all it does is encourage, Jim.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You got it right in the head. There are many times in my career, the career of any good prosecutor, if you had a prosecutor who tells you, you know what, I've tried cases for 20, 30, 40 years, and I've never lost, doubt that person, right? Doubt that person because they've never taken on the big, important cases. There are many times in any career as an assistant district attorney, a DA in Manhattan, a U.S. attorney in Milwaukee and Madison, other places where you say, you know what? The evidence is there beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm not entirely certain this is a dead bang winner. There never is such a thing as a perfect trial, but we're going ahead with it because it is right to do it. And I think to your point, this is one of those situations where, you know, you need to get the right jury, absolutely. You need to have all your ducks in order, as they say. All the evidence has got to be there. You got to identify a clear prosecution focus, but you do it because it is right to do it. And I'll repeat what we've said before on this wonderful radio station, that is the decision to prosecute people because of their political inclinations or because of politics, that is no more corrupted than the decision not to prosecute, likewise, because you're concerned about politics or, even worse, violence. It's not to say you're not aware of the fact that when you announce an indictment like this, you're not prepared for it. You do those things you need to do to prepare internally and maybe externally, but you got to do it because it's right to do it, and that's the point of what I think Merrick Garland's got to be wrestling with right now.
Jim, I know we're going to discuss many legal issues, but violence. Mm. And I don't want to forget to mark the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the Sikh temple shooting. I believe it was just this week.
Right. And coming up August, this coming Friday is the 10th anniversary, right? Sunday, August 5th, 2012. Bright, sunny day just like this. A white supremacist, a fellow who was plainly looking at those people and said, they look different than I am. They are different from I am. I'm going to go in and kill some people. Lots of stories there about what prompted him to do it. Took the lives of 7 people, injured many others. It is one of the major horrific civil rights, human rights events in American history, being not in any way celebrated, but observed this coming, frankly, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Oak Creek, and frankly, around the country, around the world, people be looking to Wisconsin again, saying, how are you dealing with this horrific thing that happened? What do we learn from it? How do we go ahead from this? And again, knowing that we still live in an incredibly, incredibly violent nation.
We're not dealing
with it. Right. Nothing's gotten better.
Right, and nothing's gotten better. It's gotten worse.
That's one of the messages. You know, we're doing a program on Thursday night at the Oak Creek City Hall. One of the things we're going to chat about is just that. You know, lessons learned, lessons not learned. And what do we take away from the fact that we do have local populations, we've got national populations of people forever changed by gun violence, by this crazy focus, this cancer that we have in this nation, and we don't seem to be wrestling with it. President tried to do something again. Congress did a little bit recently. It's a very, very small baby step. We're still not doing background checks. We're still not doing lethal violence protective orders or ERPOs, risk protection orders, other things that we can do. We know what works. We can't get an assault weapon ban reinstated in this country. It worked for 10 years in the 1990s. We're still not doing that. We know it works, and we just don't have the ability to do it. What's that all about, right?
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us outside of Hawk's Bar on State Street in Madison. Jim, thank you for doing so. I want to get back briefly, if we can, Jim. Do you have any further thoughts on the violence? I mean, this is the issue.
I got lots of thoughts about violence, but I'll
but
set them aside.
As it pertains to
conversationally, no.
As it pertains to you know, justice coming out and right. doing a prosecution.
Right. Well, and again, I anticipate your question here. You know, in part, the other challenge that we have is the Supreme Court that what 3 or 4 weeks ago told us for the first time in our nation's history that you have a constitutional right under the Second Amendment to admittedly. Probably privately carry, but carry weapons on State Street in downtown Madison, in streets and villages of this nation. You can do that without getting any authorization from your local government. Nobody can ask you anymore why it is you need that gun. We can't do that anymore because the Supreme Court told us you've got a constitutional right. That married up with concerns about what may happen in the future, which we're just chatting about, that is a lethal cocktail, and that's a great concern, I think, that animates your question. I think as many, many people, including us right now, very concerned about what the future will bring here.
Jim Santel, fine friend of ours and former U.S. Attorney. Jim, how much do you think these lone wolves can be weaponized by the former president if a prosecutor, be it a state DA, an AG, whoever drops the charges, the indictments against Trump, Trump's going to try to activate some group of people. Do you
Again.
Think it will be to violent ends?
Right. You know, the question is a good one, and more broadly speaking, it does do that, right? We know that whether he intends it or not, and he does. We know that it has that impact. We know that just this past week, this fellow again named Guy Reffitt.
Reffitt, yes.
Reffitt, right? Sentenced by this U.S. District Judge in Washington, D.C. Gets 7 years, the longest sentence so far. This guy, I would offer to you, is a perfect answer to your question. This is a guy who, again, according to his children, his son, you know, testifies against him. His son and his daughter threatened by him. They're the ones who go forward to the FBI and say, listen, my dad's planning something, and then come back and say, he did something. He goes to trial. He gets prosecuted. He gets convicted. And now, again, he is saying things like, oh, yes, I want to make an apology. I was a little crazy. Everything went a little stupid. That's what he said back in 2020 and again more recently. That's the concern, right, that you've got people out there who may not have it all together to begin with, but nonetheless have access to weapons. He did have a weapon on the grounds of the Capitol, didn't go into the Capitol building, but he had a firearm there, and he comes forward. He plainly is intending violence, and he pursues that. He stands at the head of the police going, bringing the movement forward, and he is the kind of person who can, in fact, be weaponized under these circumstances. The guy Reffitt's out there, he is not alone. He is not alone, and that's the reason why we need to be so vigilant to address it, to have people like his son forward.
He was a recruiter for one of these nationalist groups down
right, there. I have regret right. every time right. I get caught.
right. So, right. I mean, the question is, does he engage them again? This we've already done this. Right. We've already been through this. We know it's possible. We know he did it. The question is, will he do it again? And I'm just going to say, yeah, absolutely, he will.
Why wouldn't he?
And why wouldn't they step up? Because what, until now, and with Reffitt, a seven-year sentence, now they did not give him the terrorist enhancer where they wanted 15.
Right. Sure.
And I did see the kids, Jim, say that, you know, if their dad's going for seven, which is deserved, Trump should be in jail for life.
That's the big takeaway, right? That's the big takeaway from the kids saying, you know what, who caused my father to do this? It was the former president.
He certainly encouraged him. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, stick around. We got more breaking news. Department of Defense officials apparently also have lost some phones and some texts and some, you know, just another day in the office. I want to talk about that and get your thoughts on what's going on with the Secret Service and the Department of Defense. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates live from Hawks Bar on State Street. We are having a party outside. Come down and join us. We'll be right back after this short break.
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.